connivance of the authorities, a move was made by pagans as well as Jews to make attacks on Paul and Barnabas and to stone them. When the apostles came to hear of this, they went off for safety to Lycaonia, where in the towns of Lystra and Derbe, and in the surrounding country, they preached the good news. A man sat there who had never walked in his life, because his feet were crippled from birth. And as he listened to Paul preaching, he managed to catch his eye. Seeing that the man had the faith to be cured, Paul said in a loud voice, "Get to your feet, stand up." And the cripple jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the language of Lycaonia, "These people are gods, who've come down to us disguised as men." They addressed Barnabas and Zeus as Zeus, and since Paul was the principal speaker, they called him Hermes. The priests of Zeus outside the gate proposed that all the people should offer sacrifice to them, brought garlanded oxen to the gates. When the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard what was happening, they tore their clothes and rushed into the crowd shouting, "Friends, what do you think you're doing? We're only human beings like you. We've come with the good news to make you turn from these empty idols to the living God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that these hold. In the past, he allowed each nation to go its own way, but even then, he did not leave you without evidence of himself and the good things he does for you. He sends you rain from heaven. He makes your crops grow when they should. He gives you food and makes you happy." Even this speech, however, was scarcely enough to stop the crowd offering them sacrifice. And from John's Gospel, chapter 14, Jesus said to his disciples, "Anybody who receives my commandments and keeps them will be one who loves me, and anybody who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I shall love him and show myself to him." Judas, this was not Judas Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, what's all this about? Do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we shall come to him and make our home with him. Those who do not love me do not keep my words, and my word is not my own, it's the word of the one who sent me. I've said these things to you while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I've said to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Our two readings today contain a remarkable contrast, but at the same time they link together beautifully. In Acts, we hear how Paul and Barnabas, after long journeys by ship and then by foot through the mountains, had come to the remote city of Antioch in Pisidia, which is in present-day Turkey. But they were forced to move on from there when a faction had stirred up the populace against them and their teaching, and were about to kill Paul and Barnabas by stoning them to death. So naturally, they moved on to the town of Lycaonia. Paul, after his vision of the risen Christ, had discovered that his life's work was to wander the world of the Roman Empire, preaching the resurrection of Jesus, the Son of God, and the good news that God is on our side, and that all of us, not just a chosen people or an elite, are loved by God and included in God's infinite plan. When they reached Lycaonia and were preaching, Paul saw that man who was crippled from birth and felt inspired to command him to get up and walk. The man was instantly cured, fully mobile at last. It's the fact that Paul and Barnabas were forced to move on and that they gave the crippled man the power to move around for the first time in his life that contrasts with what we hear in the Gospel. For there, John reports Jesus is telling us that God will come to make a permanent home in us. A little bit earlier in this wonderful chapter 14, Jesus told us that he was going away to prepare a place for us, a permanent home in my Father's house, so that where I am, you may be too. Paul knew that paradoxically he carried this home within him, even as he wandered about from town to town and country to country. If we know that Christ lives in us, we have an unshakable conviction that is better than solid stone foundations under a house. Today, I sat beside the bedside of a dear friend, 86-year-old Dominican Sister Claire, who was very close to death from cancer. This wonderful woman, like most of us Dominicans, has travelled far and wide in her work of sharing the good news for Jesus. For Claire, her travels have been mostly around her homeland of New Zealand in her work of teaching the gospel. In her early days, she was a school teacher. How many classrooms of children in different towns has she influenced? Then in later life, she became pastoral assistant in parishes. In her late 70s, when most people tend to take things quietly, she moved to yet another parish, where she became a loved central figure ministering to people there. I cannot help seeing her in these readings, as she is confined to bed, her physical strength ebbing, no longer able to move around, after such a lot of journeying during her lifetime. We talked together for a little while about how, very soon, she will know much more about what Jesus meant when he talked about our true home, which he is preparing for us. But we both agreed that so far we have no idea almost what it's like to join our grandparents and our ancestors, to be where they have gone, or more correctly, to be in the state of life that they have entered. Of course, our destination is not a many-roomed house in the sky. It's a condition of heart and of mind, which begins now. For we already know and rejoice in this truth, that God loves us infinitely and will never let us go. The sacraments of absolution and anointing that Claire shared so simply this afternoon are just ritual guarantees, symbols that this is true. A state of heart. John's Gospel often uses the word abide, a permanent condition that nothing can put an end to. This is our promise, heaven beginning now. Amazing, isn't it, that 2,000 years after Paul preached this to the people of Antioch and of Lycaonia, we share the same good news, which we've heard through his letters, through the four Gospels, and from the many people who've preached these to us, and which we ourselves can all share in words we speak to our neighbours, just as wherever you are in the world, you're hearing this now.